So glad that he's doing better, and I'm so excited that you know, he's gonna get back and be more healthy than ever. But you know, a little entertainment at someone else's expense is I'm not gonna complain. So no, he's been great. He's been wonderful. And today I am gonna come and preach to you and just talk to you a little bit about, you know, some things for me that are challenging and difficult. I think that's kind of the job and one of the roles of a preacher is to talk about things that are challenging and difficult. And many times, no matter how much it makes us squirm or feel awkward, you know, we have to push through in those kinds of things. And that's kind of why I'm here today. This is not a new message. I just want to make sure you guys know. You know, I'm sure hundreds of people have preached about this. I'm not smart enough often to come up with new ideas. I just repackage old ones. And that's okay with me. I'm fine with that. You know, and for me today, preaching, I'm not looking for anyone's approval or looking for anybody's pat on the back. You know, it just really is today about maybe you could hear something in the Word of God. You know, maybe today you could hear something that God is saying to you. Now, that is a very interesting idea, and we're going to talk about that. I know that for some of you, this word is a little tough, intimacy. For several people in this room, the word intimacy means different things. For one person, it may mean a long walk on the beach, hand in hand. An afternoon of a dinner and you know, kisses and sweet nothings. Maybe to another person, the word intimacy is scary. It brings up bad things. You have history with intimacy. As soon as you get close to someone, they leave. As soon as you make the connection, as soon as someone begins to show you these things that make you feel good, that make you feel connected, there's a loss. And that repeats over and over again to the point where intimacy equals fear. Intimacy means build barriers and build walls. And I think everybody in this room, somewhere between walks on the beach and barriers, when it comes to intimacy, we fall somewhere in that, okay? And I realize the dynamic. There are men and women in this room, and I am married. And my wife's idea of intimacy and my idea of intimacy often are very different. And we have exchanges. Does anybody in this room have exchanges with their spouse? Do you have, some call them conversations, arguments, throwing thing? We often, the point of tension and frustrations in our marriage come with these differences of opinion on what intimacy is. And I'm learning as a husband and as a man that you know, my definition is incorrect to her. It's wrong. It's just absolutely absurd that she would think sitting and watching TV all night would be intimate. You know, that's just, you know, that's not intimate for her. And that's fine, you know, and I'm learning and I'm growing. And you know, she is too. She's realizing so many things about me that make me feel loved. And, you know, that is a wonderful place to be when you have submission there. And I know that for many, you have stories, you have things that, you know, you've used in your life to create what this looks like. I have a personal one, my father. All the way up to 2002, my dad gave his life to God, submitted himself over to Christ. And then at that point, we began a relationship that we didn't have before that. At that point, me and my dad began this intimate relationship as a father and son. Anything before that, I had no clue what that looked like. Anything that's happened since 2002, it's new for me. Everything before that point, I would qualify under this umbrella: respectful. That's what our relationship was. It was, these are the decisions you're making as a father, and these are the decisions I'm making as a son. We will respect each other in our homes, in our home here. We're just going to respect each other. You know, you're going to do this over here. You have this role as a father of things that you're supposed to do. I have this role as a son of things I'm supposed to do, and we will just respect that. But that's a far-fetched idea from intimacy, okay? Respect and intimacy are what we're going to talk about today. Some of the struggles between those two ideas. And this one thought, that respect often creates boundaries, very simply. That's what it's there for. You have a boss and you have an employee, and we have boundaries there, correct? And these boundaries are there for respect. Intimacy creates bridges. It creates connections between people. And it's very different than respect. Let's read a scripture. Revelations 3, 15 through 19. This is in the NLT. I know all the things you do, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were one or the other. But since you are lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. This particular phrase here, we're going to keep reading, but this particular phrase, this is a writer being inspired to write to the churches. Like you, just simply like us, we're a church. We're a body of Christ in the area, and this letter was written to a group of people that were building what we are a part of now, this great body of the church. And he's writing something to them that's a little bit corrective. In his letters and Revelations, you know, he's talking to them, and he's telling them all, some of the good things they're doing, and he tells them some of the bad things they're doing, and often he gives an answer. That's kind of the way Revelations in the beginning is laid out. I'm going to tell the church some good things they're doing. I'm going to tell them some bad things they're doing. And then I'm going to give them a word from God. I'm going to tell them something that could help them. And here, this is what he's doing. And he's telling them a corrective kind of thing. He's saying to them, you know what? When I observe you, speaking as God, when I see what you're doing as a church, I see this. I see that you're neither hot and you're not cold. You're in the middle. That would be qualified as respect. Respect for God. You know, just simply, you know what? You're not red hot passionate about Him. Just all in. You're not over here just of aggressively attacking the message and aggressively going against everything God is. You're just kind of hovering in the middle. You know, God's in the room. It's like, okay, He's in the room. You know, let's respect that. You know, let's keep the checklist going, you know, things to do to make God happy. Let's go to church. Let's do that. Let me read my Bible sometimes. And then, I'll give. I'll give. And these simple checklists, these simple things will let God know that I'm in, I want to be in, you know, but these are the kinds of things that we agree upon. You know, I'm hearing what you're saying that I should do. I'm going to do these things, and I'm going to hope that because I do these things that you're going to be happy with me, and you're going to somehow make all of the stuff that I want, you know, to be done. So, you know, I'm going to pray, God, do these things, and you're going to do them, you know? That's kind of the idea. A respectful relationship with God often creates a performance-based relationship. And, you know, as we know, that can be very difficult sometimes. So he tells them this. This is kind of like God talking to this church. This is what he says to him. He said, but since you are like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. That is just disgusting, right? But that's how God felt. He literally felt like, you know, because you just, you know, when I come in the room, you know, you just feel like, okay, you know, I just need to do the things that I need to do and, you know, just make sure he knows I'm not, you know, not trying to aggressively attack him. But no, I'm not over here just kind of hanging out. I'm not with God, but, you know, I'm kind of in the middle. And some of you would think, well, that's good. That's fine. You know, middle of the pack, not too bad. Not too bad, right? But this is the way it makes God feel. Middle of the pack makes God feel like spitting you out of his mouth. This is what he says here. You say, I am rich. I have everything I want. I don't need a thing. And you don't realize that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. You middle people. You respectful. You respect me, yes, yes. As you know, that you do a handful of things that I've asked you to do, but you've missed it. You've missed it. You walk around me and you tiptoe around me with such respect and honor for my position and who I am as God. But you've missed it. You've said to yourself that, hey, I'm rich, you know, but you don't even realize you're miserable and you're poor and you're blind and naked. So, I advise you to buy gold from me, gold that has been purified by fire. Then you will be rich. Also, buy white garments from me, so you will not be shamed by your nakedness, and ointment for your eyes, so you will be able to see. I correct and discipline everyone I love. So be diligent and turn from your indifference. Interesting, you know. A lot of times, I think, you know, we get lost in trying to figure out, you know, okay, what does this look like for me to be intimate with God? What could it look like, you know, for me to have a relationship with God? And most of us define that, you know, simply often by what we see and who we engage with. I want to make sure that we're very clear on this kind of word and what we're talking about here. Is it can be easy to confuse intimacy with intensity. Many times, you know, you may come into a place like this, and you hear these phrases. You hear maybe someone on stage say, let's worship God, or, you know, let's pray. You know, and we see things like often, you know, say you're, I know there are many people in here that may be new to Christ, you know, from what I hear, you know, there are many people that have given their life over to God lately. And you may see people that are just, you know, it seems like they're jumping, trying to catch the sun, you know, or maybe they got their hands in the air and they're waving them around, or you see tears coming down their face, or you see them holding their chest. You see things like that. You see these physical things that they're doing, these intensities. And often we can get confused and we can begin to define intensity as intimacy. And we can be way off by making these assumptions. Simple principle. We make assumptions and then we draw inferences from those assumptions. Let's say I see a baby crying. A mother feeds the baby. The baby stops crying. I make an assumption. That baby was hungry. An inference would look like this. Every time a baby cries, they are hungry. That's not right, right? There are hundreds of reasons a baby could cry. But many times, that's the kind of thing we do when we define intimacy with God. We make inferences based off of what we see and what we hear. And we begin to develop this idea of what it looks like to have a relationship with God, to have intimacy with God. And sometimes we can have a little right and a lot wrong, okay? So I want to make sure that before we step into, you know, hey, what is intimacy? What does intimacy even look like? That there's a part of this that is very special and unique just to you. It's very special and unique just to your relationship with God. And it's something that you're going to have to define for yourself. But I don't want you to get confused just because, you know, maybe you don't jump up and down. Maybe you're not a crier. Maybe you don't wave your arms around. Maybe you're not animated like some people. That's okay. Don't try to mimic their intensity. Because at that point, you will be indifferent. You'll just be that respectful person that's checking a thing off a list. This is what intimacy looks like. All right, let's talk about some things about intimacy. And I'm fully aware of this word. There are some people that, you know, I know for me, you know, growing up, you know, this word was like, oh man, it just made me squirm. Like, let's don't talk about that word. That's a dirty word. That's a eight-letter dirty word in the church. You know, let's don't use that word. That's tough for a man. You know, let's just be honest. There's a part of that. That word can be tough. But I think if you realize what it really is and what we're really talking about, you'll find in Scripture, you'll find that it's something that's necessary for your life and necessary for your relationship with God. I'd say, you know, the first two things I'm going to talk about, these are just simply, you know, major parts of intimacy. But the last thing is really, you know, that's the thing that really kind of kicks off. First thing I'd say is time. You know, something that creates intimacy, something that kind of makes intimacy happen. And I'd say more than just time, time that doesn't have agendas a lot of times. You know, time, like, you know, not, you know, if I spend time with my wife, you know, from this time to this time, then I will get what I want. You know, that kind of thing. That's not the kind of time we're talking about. We're talking about time where you don't have an agenda. Time where you spend it and it is just given away to the other person. And in Scripture, we read this one passage that sometimes we get confused and we think that it's really more about us, but it's a lot of times it's more about our intimacy with God. He says in Ecclesiastes 3. 1 through 10. For everything, there's a season, a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. And this scripture goes on and on to talk about what time looks like in a life with God. Not what time looks like in order for you to get out of the mess you're in. Not what time looks like so that this hard season that you're in will go away. Because God is working something in this hard season that you're going through. This is simply, it's a reminder. Hey, listen. It's from God to you. Hey, listen, there's a time for everything. And all these things that you're going through, all this stuff, it's okay. It's all in the plan of time. In every season, every marker, when it's time to work, when it's time to heal, when it's time, all of these markers of time, he's saying that these times are creating intimacy between me and you. Not respect. You know, respect would say that I would just do what I'm required to do. I would just give the minimums of what I'm required to do. But to create intimacy, we need time. Second thing I'd say is one that is very dear to my heart, and that is transparency and honesty. These things are necessary when it comes to intimacy with God. Let's just take our own relationships. Let's take our own personal things. Maybe some of you have been in a place where, you know, you've wanted that relationship with someone. Maybe a father to a son. You know, you've wanted to see that grow. You wanted to see, you know, you don't want just the respectful side of it. You'd like to see an intimate relationship. A father and son, a mother and daughter, mother and son relationship, a friend, a spouse, you know. You don't want to just kind of have a house of rules where, you know, you just kind of come in and you know this is what you do, this is what I do. We respect each other's opinions. We respect each other's desires. And we check the list off of all the things we're supposed to do. We call that roommates. Okay, that's not the goal, right? That's not the goal in marriage. That's not the goal, you know, in friendship. The goal is intimacy, right? Not just respectfulness. And, you know, I'd say often in our relationship with God, It can begin to feel that way. And I can tell you guys right now, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to lay it out there for you. Some of you guys are just tiptoeing around God and you're respecting Him and you're checking the list off and you're doing everything you're supposed to do right. And He's calling out for intimacy with you. He's asking for intimacy with you. And you're afraid to give it. You're afraid to go there with Him. And let me tell you something right now that it's okay to be honest with God. I don't think you're going to scare Him. You know, some of you may be thinking, oh, I'm going to tell God something. And He's going to, freak out. You know, like He's just going to completely blow His mind. Like, God, I've had these thoughts today. And God just come back. Really? You thought that? Oh my goodness, I didn't know. I didn't know you were that way. I mean, that changes everything. No, that's not. He knows, guys. Let me just go ahead and let you know, if you don't know, the deepest, darkest secrets of your life that you don't want to tell anyone, God knows about them. Okay, here's the good news. You're not dead, okay? He didn't strike you down. That's okay. And we'll get into a little bit of that later. It's okay. He knows. So here's a suggestion. Maybe get a little more honest with God. Maybe get a little more transparent with God. Stop praying these little silly, God, today I was a little angry. I was a little upset, and maybe I don't know why this happened. Maybe prayers might get a little PG-13 R-rated every now and then. Okay. Maybe sometimes you need to really divulge who you are to God. Get into your prayer closet. Go away with God. Go away with the Father and share your heart. Let it out. And anybody in here that has an intimate relationship with their spouse or another person, you know that it takes that honesty. You cannot just give the good. You cannot just give the good in a relationship. You have to give both, the good and bad, and each person has to be able to take that. The last thing we're going to talk about is one that is, I think the first two, this really kind of sums it up. This is kind of the primary part of intimacy. This is the primary reason intimacy is created, and it is submission. Submission is truly what creates intimacy with God and with us. It's a simple idea that, like we just talked, we're going to have the, over here in one hand, we have one party that has the good, the bad, the ugly, Over here, another party, the good and the bad and the ugly. And going to surrender it to each other. Right? That's the idea, even in a marriage or a friendship or relationship, is that I can't hide a part of me from my wife. I have to submit it. And all the good things, all the things I can do, all the wonderful things that I could do for her, I offer to her wholly and completely. But at the same time, all of those bad things, all those things that frustrate her, and all the things that just, it's like, why would he do that? I submit that to her too. And in the same role she has with me. And there is not just a respect there. And many of you know exactly what I'm talking about. There's not just a respect for this is the way you are. This is the way you are. I respect that. That's not intimacy. But rather, I submit these things. You see that in a marriage, in a relationship, a father-son relationship, a mother-daughter, it doesn't matter, a spouse, a friend. There's a submission that has to happen for intimacy. You have to give all to each other. Here is the best part. This is the point of the whole sermon. This is it, guys. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that none should perish, but everybody have everlasting life. While you were yet a sinner, Christ died for you. Amen. Do you get the idea that He has completely, all the way, 100%, submitted Himself to us? that God has laid his life down completely, saying, here's all of me. Here's everything. And it's all yours. And now he's just calling for you. He's asking for you to join him in the intimacy that's there. Revelation 3. We're going to finish up that passage. This is what he says. Talking to the church, talking to individuals, talking to you. This is what he says. Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. And we will share a meal together as friends. Those who are victorious will sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat with my Father on his throne. This is God. This is Jesus Christ standing outside of the door of our lives, standing outside the door of your life, standing outside the doors of our churches, in our groups, in our social gatherings. It is him standing outside, and he's saying into the church, he's saying into your life, into the individual, yes, you're lukewarm. Yes, you know that you're neither hot, you're neither cold. You know, and yeah, you make me sick sometimes. You know, you just literally the way you act, you're just so respectful around me. You know, I give all of me and you're not giving all of you. I understand all that. But even after all of that, even after all the frustrations and all the things you're doing, this is what God does. And this is the beautiful part about what he's doing in your life today. He knocks. The God of all creation submitted himself to you, and he could force you to respect him. He could force you to obey him. He could make you do these things. He could make you not be lukewarm if he wanted to. But he doesn't. The God of all creation, Jesus Christ, the man, already submitted fully to you to give himself to you completely, once again submits and knocks. He says, listen, yeah, you're respectful. I get that. You know, you've got all the stuff right. Your checklist is good. You know, you went to church, you read your Bible a little bit, you know, you talk about me every now and then, you give a little bit every now and then, you know, that's fine, but you missed it. Look, if you could open up your door, if you could open up the door of your life, in your programs, in all of your ideas of the way, your assumptions and your inferences on the way relationship with me looks, if you could just for a second chill out, we could sit down and have intimacy. We could sit down and have a meal together. I realize that there are people in this room that you know, you're from all over. You know, you got so many different backgrounds, so many different ways of seeing God and viewing God, and that's fine. We call that the church. It's we're all, you know, pretty different, and that's great. But some of you in this room, you hear this and you go, "That's not for me." You know, that's not really, you know, it's not really hitting on anything today, and that's fine. I'm okay with that. I didn't come to preach a sermon for everybody today. I came to preach to a couple of people specifically. Some of you in this room, you know who you are. You respect God and you honor him to a degree. But you do not want to let him in intimately into your life. And I came here today to tell you this. I'm not knocking. Andy King's not knocking. Jesus is knocking at your door. Will you let him in? Will you lay down your schedule? Will you lay down your plan, your idea of what it looks like to be intimate with God? Will you get away by yourself? Will you put that book down? Will you stop calling the friend to figure it out? Look, just open the door when you hear him knock. I promise you he'll come in. I promise you. Jesus is waiting for you. Let's pray. God, for me, I speak on behalf of these people in this room that want and desire that. But there's a part of them that's scared. If they open up, if I let you in, if I put it all out there, then I'm responsible for it. And, you know, all these things that just, the fear, the enemy that just gets in our ear, the devil, you know, our conscience that talks to us and say, you know what? Not today. You know, intimacy will wait. Intimacy with God can wait till tomorrow. It can wait till next month, till next season. You're doing fine the way you are. For all those people in this room that are that way, that have that whisper in their heart, that knock on their heart, God, I pray they'd answer. And God, I pray for the sake of all of us in this room, please don't stop knocking on our heart. We often fail in our faith, and you know that. You built our frame. You know how we are. You do good things for us, and we forget it. Please don't stop knocking. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, church, I'm going to come and speak to you today, and I hope you have a wonderful afternoon. At least, is there anything else that I need to mention, or we're done?